Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Hey, hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Happy New Year, weekend of November 1st and 2nd in parallel universe of Rack and Fin Radio. When the season opens or reopens, indeed, cause for a New Year celebration. November 1st, hey, permit bow season opens statewide. Make sure you have your permits. You missed out. If you didn't get it, too late. You snooze, you lose on getting that buck permit. Listen, a sea bass limit goes to 15 fish up from 10, still the 12.5-inch minimum length limit. And also, lastly but not least, good luck to all the youth pheasant hunters out there. Youth Pheasant Hunting Day today. Now, listen, it goes into next week. Shout-out to all the guides and mentors, everyone involved. I hope the youngsters have a great time. Check out page 19 in the digest for details. They're putting out a lot of birds on select management areas. It's going to be a great time. Hey, hey, remember last week I mentioned young Jackson Herzer, first pheasant hunt with his dad, Matt, granddad Gary Herzer, and other granddad Jim Big Tog Birdini. It's Birdini. Big Jim Tog Birdini. They're out of the preserve. I'll say it out. Bent Creek. And I'll tell you, Jackson was swinging that side by side like there was no tomorrow. Shot a pile of birds. He is a special guest to open Rack and Fin this November 1st. The youth getting involved in hunting. And I'll tell you, this young man is an ace. Hey, Jackson, how you doing, little brother?
I'm doing good.
Glad to have you on Rack and Fin. I hear you're jamming, whatever. You have a busy schedule. Let me ask you this right off the bat, Herzer, right off the bat. What made you get involved in hunting? What made you want to go bird hunting?
Well, I saw my dad do it, and I thought it was pretty cool.
Uh-huh. I started way back when with reading magazines and stuff, because I grew up in an inner city situation for the most part, and watched my cousins go and come back and everything, and I just couldn't wait to go. That you have an early jump is great. Now, the hunting itself, how did you guys set this up? I mean, you're out there. Were you lined up and you had a guide with a dog, correct?
Yep.
Okay, so
two dogs.
Oh, you had two. Whoa, that's pretty good. That doesn't make it. I can't say it makes it easier, Jackson, but it does. It does help out a lot insofar as finding the birds and flushing the birds, because those pheasants could hide in a patch of grass the size of the palm of your hand, as I'm sure you found out.
Yeah.
Now, you took your hunter safety test. How did that go? I mean, you passed it, but were you nervous at all?
No, not really.
I tell you, this kid's as cool as a cucumber, huh? Now, were you getting super excited about your hunt? Did you go bust some clay birds? Did you practice at all before you went?
Yep.
Good. Now, you're shooting a 20-gauge side-by-side, huh?
Yep.
I don't have a 20-gauge side-by-side. What's up with that, man? So tell me, now, the birds, the dogs flush the birds. Fast flyers or what? You swing? Did you miss a? It's natural. Don't be ashamed to say you missed, because I miss all the time. Did you miss a few shots before you got in your groove?
Yeah, I missed a few.
That's all right. That's all right. We all miss. In fact, the last time I was out at Bent Creek, I think I went probably 2 for 12. Okay, maybe it was 1 for 12. That's all right. The birds lived. But now, what about your granddads and your dad? Were they pretty good, like popping them down?
Yep.
That's good. Now, Jackson, encouragement. You have friends. I mean, do any of your other friends hunt? I mean, that for a 10-year-old. Mm-hmm. I mean, there's some out there, but you try to encourage any other youngsters your age to get involved?
No.
Oh. See, we need more youngsters like you getting involved in the hunting scene, because literally that is the future of hunting.
Yeah.
Now, let me tell you this, because the excitement here, I'm reliving it now. Look, I got my upper lip is sweating. The excitement you felt when that first bird got up, did you do a Tom P and go, whoa, and not shoot? A full disclosure here. Yeah, that's that. When those pheasants get up, man, that's it. Now, do you want to stick with pheasant hunting? You want to get into ducks or deer or other small game like rabbits and squirrels?
Yeah, I would really like to go deer hunting soon.
Okay, soon. Hey, you have your license, man. You have a 20-gauge. 20-gauge is legal. New Jersey has some great deer hunting. And I'll tell you, it would be a great opportunity to go. You got to talk to your dad and talk to your granddads. Hey, man, get me out there in the whitetail woods. Jackson, well, this is Jackson Herzer, 10-year-old, first pheasant hunt, excitement there. Third generation, three generations of Herzers out there hunting. But now let's get to another favorite from what I understand Jackson Herzer is about. West Virginia Mountaineers. I played a little bit in college. I'm a hoops fan. So, Jackson, Mountaineers basketball, it kicks off next Tuesday, I think. They're playing Mount St. Mary's or something like that. You're going to be able to stream in on the game. How do they look this year? Did you check it out yet?
Yeah, they're looking pretty good. With the new coach.
Yeah, I heard the new coach. I don't know, man. They play some, naturally pretty much easy warm-up games. Little Rock, Mississippi Valley State, Mercy First or Mercy, whatever. But then they got some big stuff. They got Clemson, Ohio State, Wake Forest, Cincinnati Bearcats. Watch it, man. Kansas, Houston, Texas Tech. They have a tough schedule. My concern, because I do follow college hoop, I like West Virginia. I also like the Texas Longhorns. Is that their power forward, Jackson Fields, he's down for the first part of the season, from what I understand. So we have Brent Laureate coming up. So he's going to start. So, Jackson, I hope we made some good wins there. What do you think? They'll probably do it. Yeah, they'll probably do it. You think they'll do something?
Yeah, I think they'll go to the Final Four.
Whoa! Hey, you heard that first on Rocket Fin Radio from 10-year-old Jackson Herzer. West Virginia Mountaineers going to the Final Four. Morgantown will be rocking. Well, Jackson, you have a great hunting season. Tell your dad and granddads, hey, man, get me in the deer woods. But meanwhile, get out. A lot of pheasants are being stocked. They're going to be stocked right through almost till Christmas Eve or New Year's Eve, whatever. So hopefully you're going to get out on some of the wildlife management areas and get some gunning in, okay?
All right.
Okay, Jackson, you take care, man. Have a great season. You'll be back on Rack and Fin when you get a deer.
Bye. Thanks for having me.
You got it, man. Jackson Herzer, a cool kid. But three generations out there, that's what's so critical. That is what is so critical. And it was just great to have the young fellow on. A little nervous, but that's all right. That's all right. Hey, man, grab that cup, grab that Rebel. We are going to be talking pheasant and quail stalking. Next segment with Jimmy Sloan from Fish and Wildlife, Upland Game Project Leader. Ooh, numbers are down, but the birds are still going to be there for the most part. Be right back, Rack and Fin Radio.
It's Philadelphia Flyers hockey tonight on 97.3 ESPN and the 97.3 ESPN free mobile app. Listen as Tim Saunders and Todd Fedoruk bring you all the exciting play-by-play action.
The Blues put the score! Bobby Brink on the power play!
It's Flyers Leafs tonight. Coverage begins at 7 p.m. It's Flyers hockey all season long on South Jersey's radio home for Philadelphia Flyers hockey. 97.3 ESPN. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go. Look out below. You're back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of November 1st and 2nd. That was young Jackson Herzer, man. Pheasant hunter extraordinaire. And the future is getting going. Hey, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m. 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio. Message 97.3 ESPN FM. Streaming live 97.3 ESPN. .com. You can download the 97.3 app or Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or other platforms for the Rack and Fin Radio message. The podcast, this broadcast, usually reposted sometime Saturday afternoon or sometime Sunday. Getting it down. We're still talking pheasants, and we're going to be talking bobwhites as well with Jimmy Sloan, seasonally a great, great guest on Rack and Fin Radio. Jimmy's a regional superintendent, Fish and Wildlife's Bureau of Lands Management. These are the crews that are out there stocking the trout and stocking the birds. Right now, pheasant season is going to be open up next week. It's coming up. The kids today, I hope they have a great hunt. Weather's been kind of, but we shall see. Now, we're looking at a reduction in the number of wildlife management areas stocked, and the days, Tuesdays and Thursdays, have been eliminated from these Up north, you have Berkshire Valley, the Delaware Water Gap, and the Walpack Wildlife Management Area. Rackenfin Radio Area, ooh, Central, Howardsville, Manahawk, and Medford, and Fort Dix. That's not the Dix down south. And in the south, you have Hyzerville, Mad Horse, Nantucket, and Port Republic. I love the port. Exit 48 off the, it's right there. You got to, you know, get off the Zeus Lander and cut back down to, oh, man. Anyway, Jimmy Sloan's going to explain the reduction in the birds of 47,100 ringnecks, down a few thousand going out this year, and a little reduction in the quail numbers, down a few. It's 9,020 down from 11,000. However, those management areas, Greenwood Forest and Peas, that are stocked with quail will still be stocked on the Tuesdays and the Thursdays. And just a reminder as well, Thanksgiving Day Thursday, all management areas will be stocked with pheasants. Jimmy Sloan, sorry to get a little verbose here. How you doing, little brother?
I'm good, Tommy. How are you?
Congratulations. Jimmy Sloan finally had a chance to actually get a field and did well. We'll get into that off the air. But, Jimmy, concern about the numbers. And, again, guys, are their favorite management areas tracks off the board for the Tuesday and the Thursday. Jim, go into the numbers, the reasons why people want to know, bro.
Yeah. So we knew we were hit with last year with some budget restraints. So in February, we sent out pheasant and quail stand buyer survey. We gave three options, you know, and the people have spoken. They wanted to go back to pre-2017 stocking.
Okay.
And they wanted to remove some of the midweek stocking on some of the smaller WMAs to spread the birds out to the larger WMAs.
That's where the pressure is, yeah.
I think it was a good move. I mean, I think it was a good move. 45% of the respondents chose that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and in that survey, you know, people say, did you know that the stand's only been $40 since 2000? And believe it or not,
yeah,
35% of the people, they didn't know that, you know. We haven't raised that pheasant and quail stamp in 25 years.
Hey, Sloan, not for anything, but I'm looking at it this way. The price of feed easily went up 40% in those 25 years. I mean, just how you're maintaining that is amazing. And yet, here's the thing. I get it, people. It's a different experience. I understand that. You get what you pay for. You go to a preserve, you're paying anywhere from 27 to 30 for a cockbird. So $40 for a pheasant stand, and you're in the mid-20s for a hen. Chuckers are what, 15, quail or 12? It's crazy. So $40, Jim, is still a bargain on my end, man.
Yeah. I mean, the consumer price index from 2000 to 2025 is 88%.
Oh, jeez.
You know? Mm-hmm. So you got to look at that. You got to look at that. And when we asked, you know, would you be in support of some type of change to the price of the pheasant stamp? I mean, overwhelmingly, 79% of the constituents were like, yes, we'll pay more money to have the hunting that we have.
Huge
for our sportsmen.
I'm going to interrupt you for a second. I had a guy just the other day, ran into him at a shop that one of the few licensing agents left. He said, dude, for the quality of hunting I get, because he goes out on off days, and he goes out on a Saturdays, but very late in the afternoon, like 3:30, 4 o'clock, prime time. Yes, he has a dog. He said, for the quality, I'll pay $100 for a stamp. And I said, wow, that's quite an increase. He said, yeah, but the number of birds I get, and so it depends on your experience and your finances, I guess, and the time you have. But you're right. People are willing to pay more.
Yeah, I mean, if you have a bird dog, you're going to do just about anything to get that dog out there to exercise.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, and I hope the guys have and girls have been taking care of these chucker that we've been putting out for the bird training. I mean, I hope people are using them. That's a great asset.
Oh, yeah. And one guy's bitching. These chuckers, a few times I went out as a guest to watch these dogs get trained. A couple of chuckers were kind of sedentary. Most of the other ones, man, they took off. Like, what the hell's that, man? What's on my ass? Boom! And they were up. So good training there. But, Jimmy, let's get back to the tracks. Like, for example, ooh. Oh, man, Howardsville. A lot of guys' asses got in the air on that one. You know, Manahawk, another popular one. Was it based on stocking areas, number of fields? Were there any surveys on actual, like people, boots on the ground, monitoring the hunting pressure on a Saturday or midweek? How were these tracks actually chosen?
So we do the opening day car count, so we know which WMAs are seeing the biggest decline in users.
Oh,
and
okay.
Also, if you look at this schedule and the one from 2016, it's the same WMAs that were removed midweek from then. Because we used to stock like this. This is how stocking occurred.
Right.
You know, for 15 to 18 years. So, I mean, the way we pick these WMAs, it's the WMAs that weren't getting a ton of birds, you know?
Yeah, some of the predators, Jim, we'll travel to Nantucket, like Medford, Port I like, is it's just so close to a main area of operation. Mad Horse, way down there towards the Delaware Bay. Yeah, so, and Heiserville down there as well. Not that much pressure. The Carlake being a few times down there, man, hardly anybody. There's birds all over, running all over the place, man. So that's where one takes care of the other, so to speak.
And you know, on stocking days, it could be a zoo. We all know that.
Mm-hmm.
But if you hit the good WMAs, the bigger WMAs on non-stocking days, you can get a really quality hunt.
Now, Jim, I've seen birds. Hats off to the I worked with them for several years at fisheries. The late great Ray Perutsky. And avid pheasant hunter, and he would do the same thing. But my nickname at Fishing Game way back when was Whoop, because I was always whooping it up. But we'd go, you know, midweek or off days, and we didn't have a dog. Right, we'd hit Clinton, for example, areas close to where we worked, some other spots. Every once in a while, Berkshire Valley or Pequot. We always seemed to put up some birds, even after the stocking season concluded. Like into the next year.
Into January.
Yeah, they'll hold over for a while. Well, Jimmy, let's get to the bobwhites. Another favorite. Again, reduction in numbers, strictly financial, correct? Nothing to really do with hunting pressure or anything?
No, nothing to do with hunting pressures. This is strictly a financial move that we had to make.
How does it look for the future, Mr. Sloan? Are you at liberty to say, is it going to be this way for a few more years until more funds come in? That was a big financial hit.
Yeah. So the numbers are set for the next 4 years. There is a slight reduction each year.
Mm-hmm.
But I have heard a little birdie talking that there might not be as big of a reduction as was once thought. So that's good. It seems like there might be some new funding sources. So we're trying our best to keep this program as good as it is and as good as it was.
Again, listeners, you pick your times, you'll have a great short. Like Jimmy said, sometimes Saturdays can be crazy. Pick your time. Go in the afternoon. Go after 1 o'clock. Go after 2 o'clock. Or get to the 4, because like fish have fins, pheasants have wings, and man, they have a set of legs, too. They're track runners. They move, Jim. They stocked here. I said, we've got 300, 400 yards from a field, just busting through some brush, going one place, and we're putting up birds. So they move. They get around. They motor.
Yeah, at the end of the day, you got to see in the real world what $40 gets you. And I don't think it gets you 15 days, 2 bird bag limit. You know, it just doesn't do it. You know, this is a good deal. It's a really good deal. And we just got to keep pushing for the program.
Well, Jim, here's the thing, too. I from what I understand, I should know this after 22 years, but I should understand that any type of increase to a permit or a license has to be on a legislative basis, correct? What would be involved in rate? If that many people are willing to put up an extra $15, $20, $25 or more for a pheasant stand for the quality, get more birds or what have you, or add a stocking day, what have you, what's involved?
That's way over my pay grade, Tom. It's a long, drawn-out process needs people who can lobby. Sportsmen's groups need to come together, and everybody needs to agree on it. Because if there's one group that doesn't agree on the adjustment of the permit or the stamp price, the whole thing can collapse. So it really comes to our sportsmen's groups getting together, understanding what needs to be done, especially if they want the program to continue at this level.
It's such a phlegmatic process, man. You get in the Trenton and you get the lobby, everyone involved. Well, it's just like the wheels grind, Sloan, so slowly. And you're right there at the forefront. You're looking, you're like, how does stuff get done? Jimmy Sloan, thanks for joining us. Listeners, the birds are going to be out there. Reduced number of stocking days. Pick your times. Quality experience awaits. Quail numbers down a little bit, but the quail will be stocked on the Tuesdays and Thursdays. And just a reminder one more time, when it comes to the ringnecks, pheasants, every tract will be stocked on for Thanksgiving Day. Go to page 55 in the digest. All the numbers are there. You can read it. Jimmy, thanks for doing a great job. That lands management crew, you guys kick ass, man.
I appreciate it, Tommy.
Hey, Jimmy, hey, congratulations again. And if you get in the field a couple more times, I'd be proud of you, man. You're so busy.
Yep.
Keep it going.
It's coming.
Jimmy, take care, man. See ya.
All right. Thanks, Tom.
Jimmy Sloan, great guy. Great guest on Rockin' Fin. I want to ask him coming up. We'll do it in a few weeks. They're still gathering the data there on the hen pheasant telemetry monitoring. Yeah, not hen pheasant. I'm sorry. I'm thinking pheasant. Hen turkeys. Yeah, turkey numbers are, especially up north. See what's causing it. Okay, people, grab that cup, grab that Red Bull. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
It's the NFL on Sports USA, because the Kansas City Chiefs come into Buffalo to butt heads with the Bills. The Chiefs are led by Mahomes, Kelce, and a receiver that is definitely worthy.
And he's going deep, got a man open inside the 10 at the goal line. Touchdown, Xavier Worthy.
The Bills have a dynamic duo on offense in James Cook and Josh Allen. It's the Chiefs at the Bills this Sunday on Sports USA.
It's NFL Sunday on 97.3 ESPN. Coverage begins after game one of our triple header. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of November 1st and 2nd. Again, that was Jimmy Sloan, Supervising Management Bureau of Lands Management, Fish and Wildlife, stocking pheasant and stocking quail. Okay, a lot of pheasants are going out. Number of New Jersey, well, grouse long gone, but hopefully I'm even talking some woodcock a little later on. But pheasant, number one game bird in New Jersey, joining us on the line right now. Nail this one down. Very serendipitous meeting at Central Jersey location along the coast. Ran into a gentleman, Cesar DeCellis, known among the profession as Chef Chez. He is he's a private chef, but he's an owner of the Joy of Dining Catering Service. Been around since 2021 or something like that. Cool guy. He was on his way south. He was ramming on the Kobe and the trout and the whole bit down in the Carolina way. Asked him to come on Rack and Fin Radio with a pheasant recipe. Now, you know, Rack and Fin, we do the recipes. Keeping it simple, a little beyond simple, but not crazy. We can go to the store, get the ingredients, and away you go. And the recipes will make your tongue slap, your brains out, yummy in a tummy type thing. I'm too pumped to have this man on Rack and Fin. Chef Chez, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me on.
Yo, you're more than welcome, and thanks for coming on. I know your schedule. Jesus, man. I don't know. I don't have any hair left, dude. You're keeping it. And you got some fishing time in. Good for you. Chef Chez, pheasant, as we know, Jersey's number one gamer. They're putting out a lot of pheasant, putting out some quail too. But you showed me a recipe, like Nashville hot pheasant people. Easy to make, yes. and you can double it. Chef, I can't even begin to describe it. Let's get into it. You know, I'm going to hit you with some questions here and there in preparation. Listen, we're also going into a side and a libation. Chef Chez, the microphone time is yours, little brother. Let's rock. Go ahead.
Hey, how's it going? I'm Chef Chez. I'm doing a Nashville-style hot pheasant. This is going to feed anywhere from 4 to 6 people. We're going to use 2 birds. You can use it as a sandwich or just as a fried bird. So if I'm going to use it as a sandwich, I would debone the birds. But here we're going to talk about just using it as an entree. So we're going to take 2 birds and break them down into 8 pieces. So bone-in breast, bone-in legs and thighs. Then we're going to make a brine. I like to brine these birds overnight. We're looking at 2 cups of buttermilk and a cup of pickle juice, and I just leave them in the brine overnight, pull them out, and I like to dredge them in the dry mix and let them sit on my countertop for about a half hour while the oil is getting hot for me, ready to fry them. So my dry mix, I like to use all-purpose flour, potato, but if you can't find potato starch, rice flour works great, some baking powder, cayenne pepper, salt.
I'm getting too excited, Chuck, because my mind's working.
And black pepper. You know, after that, while the birds are frying, I make a little bit of a dip, if you will, or a wet dredge. So that's a mixture of cayenne pepper, brown sugar, smoked paprika, onion powder, garlic powder, hot sauce of your choice for this dish. I like to use Louisiana style hot sauce. And after I fry the birds, I just take some of that hot oil and pour it into this dry mixture and then dredge that fried pheasant with it.
Chef, again, to the mixtures, I mean, you're talking a tablespoon of each of these spices. What's the dealio? Two tablespoons?
Yeah. So for the dip, it's one tablespoon of cayenne, three tablespoons of brown sugar, one tablespoon of smoked paprika, one tablespoon of onion powder, one tablespoon garlic powder, and three tablespoons of hot sauce. Okay. And then you're looking at 6 to 8 ounces of hot oil poured into that to make this sauce for this the finished fried pheasant.
Okay, Chef, second question on the oil. Because you see, sir. Now olive oil for made for frying or however they prepare for frying, canola oil, vegetable, corn oil. What type of oil?
I typically use a canola oil.
Okay.
Or a blended oil, like a 90-10 olive oil, the canola.
Oh, that's interesting. Just pick up another tip right there from Chef Chez. Okay, go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the oil, we bring the 365. Ooh. The white meat, the breast with the bone in, is going to cook this. The dark meat, the legs and thighs, you're looking at 10 to 12 minutes. And once that's done, you can do what you want with it. And like I said, if you want to debone the whole bird and use the same recipe, you can turn it into an awesome sandwich using some brioche buns. I just like some shredded lettuce, some Duke's mayo, and some chopped up pickles on that sandwich.
Stop right there! Stop right there! I thought I was the only one in this area that was a Duke's fan. I found that at a ShopRite or somewhere a couple of years ago. Man, that's only mayo that gets in the house.
Duke's is way better than Hellman's. The flavor profile on Duke's is way better.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Another thing, too, Chef, that you mentioned, the legs and thighs. You know, you see the guys discarding legs. You want those? It's like, you know, hey, you going to finish that sandwich? You know, pass them over here, man, because I make a badass ringneck soup with that. Right, yeah, so legs, and you get the meat. Oh, yeah, there's the tendons there, people. I realize. Get that meat off. That's good, good meat. And I prefer the dark meat, Chef.
Yes.
Okay, now, aside, Chef, aside for, you have this entree, a prime side to complement it. What do you got?
I mean, I really just love a simple green salad with an awesome buttermilk dressing on it. The acidity from the dressing, the brightness from the salad really helps cut through the fat and the spice that's fried pheasant.
Okay, now a libation. Now, see, I'm a, like, when I get a game, I want suds. Sometimes wine is therapy. Give me good suds, like you know.
I mean, I'm a big fan of an old fashioned, and I think that'll go real well with something like this.
An old fashioned?
Yes, sir.
That is a mixed cocktail. That is primo, Chef. You have this nailed. How long have you been doing this? How long have you been cooking?
Too long.
Well, Chef, let's have Chef Chez on the Rackafin line right now. I'm just, that recipe has, I'm wiggling in my chair here. Chef, let's talk again. Being the foodie that I am, you saw my size, so you just acknowledge that. We know that. But what about the joy of dining, the catalyst of getting involved in this incredibly, incredibly competitive business?
So I've been in the business since I was 13. I started off as a dishwasher working my way up.
Wow.
I took a year off of high school. I moved to Europe. I cooked in Europe for a year. I came back. I went to culinary school, and I've just been traveling around up and down the East Coast, working in some of the best places I can find to work. I had opened up a bunch of restaurants in New Jersey. Then I went to the private chef route, and then I started a catering business on my own.
And you sleep when? Or have you slept more than 2 hours a night for the past 30 years? Yeah, when you're dead. That is a very apropos answer. Well, Chef, people want to find out more about the joy of dining. I mean, you do events and private stuff, correct?
Yes, so we do. We're catering chef dinners. We do private gatherings. We do corporate gatherings. We do pop-up dinners. We do all kinds of stuff. You can follow us on Instagram, at The Joy of Dining, and you can find our website is joyofdiningllc.com.
Okay, listen, go to go to the podcast. You didn't get a chance to write it down, I'm sure. Go to the podcast, slow it down. Yeah, just write hot Nashville hot pheasant. Make your tongue slap your brains out. You'll gotta go out and shoot every pheasant you see, man. Chef, thanks for joining us on Rackman. Hope to let's get together on the water sometime. That tog might start, man. It's starting to get furious. In a couple of weeks it goes to five fish. Let's roll.
Yes, sir. I caught a bunch of them yesterday in the morning before I headed out for work.
Wait a second. You were togging. You didn't call Tom P. You didn't call Tom. What's up with that? Okay, we're going to have to talk about this, Chef. Okay, man. We'll see you soon. Take care.
Thank you for having me. Yeah. Bye.
What a cool guy, but what a recipe. I saw this. I read this. I said, oh, let's see. Go through our three freezers. You think there's any pheasant breasts or legs left? No! Just use them all. So, I'm going to get it. Go to the podcast. Check out that recipe. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Hi, this is Billy Schwein. This weekend in the locker room with Billy Schwein, I'll be on the disabled list as I'm having knee replacement surgery on Friday. But the locker room will be in great hands. Saturday morning, Nick Earnshaw and former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Dave Klemek will entertain you with exceptional sports talk. On Sunday, Nick Earnshaw, Mr. Negadelphia, PJ Korda, and Alex Berardich will cover all the hot topics this week in Philly sports. Eagles, Sixers, Flyers talk and more. It's the locker room with Billy Schwein, Saturday and Sunday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Happy New Year again. Weekend of November 1st and 2nd. Hey, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m. Good morning, everyone. Thanks for tuning in. 50,000 megawatts on 97.3 ESPN FM. We're streaming live on that slot, 97.3ESPN.com. Download the 97.3 app or go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, or other platforms for the Rack and Fin Radio message for the podcast. Usually posted Saturday afternoon or sometime on Sunday, and get the word out. Yeah, we're talking pheasants. What a pheasant recipe. Oh, well, let's touch on a game bird that you don't hear much about. I'm not talking snipe. That's something. Yeah. But a bird closely resembles it. Of a bird of, not to sound like romantic or anything, but of lore and tales and whatever. I remember they used to be very, very numerous. Used to be a lot of woodcock. In fact, we're talking woodcock here, okay, timberdule. It used to be a woodcock stamp 100 years ago, it seems. A coterie of some woodcock hunting enthusiasts around the state, South Jersey especially. Our season opens up for the woodcock here. Oh, coincides with the pheasant opening, November 8th. And it is going to run through December 6th, and it'll reopen December 20th through January 1st. Woodcock, kind of weird looking, we know that, but just a cool, it's an enigma. Like, not many people know about it. Joining us online right now is Austin Damager, DEP Fish and Wildlife Senior Biologist and Head of the Migratory Game Bird Program. Want to talk woodcock, especially in the southern tier counties, later in the fall, as winter approaches, get that nor'easter, get those winds, and they can be down here in numbers. I remember running the oceans. Yeah, I used to run. Yeah, wise ass over there. The Ocean City Boardwalk sometimes after a storm, especially November into December, you'd find woodcock on the board. They would hit the wires because they're coming across. They're small birds, not the strong of a flyer, I guess, and they depend on those winds to get them across Delaware Bay on their migration south. I don't know if it was against the law what I did then, whatever. But I would breast them out, and I would cook them in the office microwave. Drove people crazy. But I digress. Austin Damager, a little Tom P. history there. How you doing, brother?
Hey, Tom. Doing well. How about yourself?
I'm thinking, we'll talk about pheasant and bobwhite. So I'm thinking, woodcock. Yeah, what about woodcock? Austin, not a misunderstood bird, but a bird that really woodcock. I had a couple of guys ask, are they still around in New Jersey? I said that I don't know if we have, resident birds or what, but the migration is on. Austin, woodcock, it's a migratory bird. It's under migratory regulations. What's the story with them in Jersey? They used to be plentiful. The population swings. What's the deal for Jersey woodcock this year? What's it looking like?
So the population the last 10 years has been relatively stable. It's slightly decreased about 1% over the last, about 0.5% over the last 10 years. In the last, 3 years, it's been about a 1% decline. So relatively stable, just looking at that. I didn't really look back at further data, but I just think there's less woodcock hunters in the state, so you don't really hear as much harvest of them.
Yeah, another thing, too, Austin, which I keep hearing from deer to bear, whatever, is the loss of habitat that keeps happening. Now, is woodcock a very specific diet? People say, oh, they taste like liver, which they do, because 99% of the diet is either earthworms or night crawlers, stuff like that. They have that long bill that gets down to the prehensile tip. They're able to pull them out. But also, to me, development seems to be an overhanging factor where less prime areas, less woodcock either coming in or hanging around for more than a day before they vamoose down south.
Yeah, so habitat is a reason for the population changes. It's more so a little bit has to do with development, but these birds rely heavily on early successional habitat, especially near swamps and wetlands and stuff like that. So luckily, wetlands can't be developed.
Thank God.
That kind of protects that property. But we have a lot of overstocked forests, just like with quail and other early successional species. There's not a lot of early successional fields or forests really around. So it's just kind of creating some of that habitat.
Yeah, habitat management, right. Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
Well, also another thing, too, the storms that bring them down. Again, they're not the strongest of flies. They come. I remember shooting them up in Maine, Massachusetts. I said, those birds make that all the way down to where? And they get down here. But, again, it was always Cape May County, Cumberland County, that first late fall, early winter, the first big nor'easter brings them down. At Higbee Beach, for example, was a hunting destination in the mid-Atlantic region for woodcock back in the day.
Yeah, it still is. It's a very popular area in the state. But there's a lot more areas. I mean, Cape May County in general is a pretty good spot for woodcock hunting, any of the WMAs within that.
Mm-hmm.
But just looking, there's kind of a hot spot in Burlington County, by like Medford and Pemberton. And then you get some little strongholds over in Gloucester and Cumberland counties.
Mm-hmm. Now, up north, we ran into this year, this was a couple of weeks ago, me and the lovely Dee Marie were up North Jersey, the trout stocking, whatever, we were trying to do a North tradition thing, and I told you we heard one flush, and then we actually saw one, and Austin, they're gone in a blink, like, you think grouse are fixed, they're gone, and she said, we saw this white splats on the grass, she says, is that woodcock bleat? And there you go. But the strongest numbers-wise that make their way down here, is it for the South Zone? Is it, again, late November through December?
It kind of depends on the year, just with any migratory birds at all. I mean, weather has a big thing to do with it. Regardless, they're going to migrate. But when you get those northern winds and some of those early cold fronts, it's going to push birds down sooner, which that's what we've had a lot of this year, is a pretty cool fall and a lot of northern winds. So it's, at least on the waterfowl end of things, there's been early migrations, and I'm seeing and having reports of some woodcocks in certain areas. So
excellent.
I think they're just right on track with waterfowl and having a good migration. But our seasons kind of coincide directly with the migration. So North Zone, we kind of hit the bread and butter of when birds are up there, especially up in Sussex County, seems to be a pretty good stronghold by the Delaware Water Gap, like you said, Stokes Forest. And then as we get into November, they kind of move more into central Jersey, Burlington County, with some trickling down into southern Jersey. And then as the season progresses, the birds progress and migrate further south. And that's when Cumberland and Cape May counties really start to heat up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, this is just a reminder, either because they're considered migratory bird for woodcock, you do not, you do not need non-toxic shot, although, they encourage you to use it. But you do need a HIP number for that. So just have that there.
Correct, yes.
Okay, Austin, again, the woodcock just seems to be, it's just an enigma. It's, guys asking me, are there still woodcock in Jersey? They come down every year, and the return in the spring list is cool. Shout out to Joe Bauer, good friend of Rack and Fin Radio, good friend of Tom P for many, many years out there in the Seville area on his property. Austin, it was every, late April, early May, they would come in, and he'd give me a call. Tom P, they're in the driveway again. Yeah, a dirt driveway. And you'd actually watch them go into that mating flight thing. It was pretty cool. They corkscrew up and they're going meep, meep, meep with that weird noise they make. And they flutter down. That is wild, man.
Yeah, that's pretty cool to see. I mean, I see that a lot. Turkey hunting in the spring and it's pretty cool because you can actually, you can get basically right next to them because they'll fly up and then they'll corkscrew back down.
Yeah, that is wild. They click off.
And you can, if you kind of keep sneaking in, you can get real close to them and watch them up close. So that's a pretty cool thing to do sometimes.
And then also,
if you get the chance during daylight, they kind of do this weird dance where they kind of rock back and forth. As part of their mating ritual to attract mates. Listen to me,
Davenger. I just had a flashback from, I don't know how many years ago. Someone said, Tom P., when you have X number of beers in you, you look like a woodcock. Yeah, that was many years ago, people, many years ago. Okay, listen, it's Woodcock. The South Zone opens November 8th, runs to December 6th, and again, reopens December 20th to January 1st. Hunting hours are sunrise to sunset. You don't need non-toxic shot, but you do need a hip number on that. And again, the limit is 3, sunrise to sunset. As Austin said, there are plenty of public lands here in South Jersey, wildlife management areas. Not plenty, but enough that experience the woodcock hunting. It just adds to the pheasant and the quail stocking. It adds to the upland experience. Very limited. Small birds. Limits only here. Tom P., is it really worth it to go out? Just try it. It's really something. It is really something. Austin, thanks for joining us, man. You take care. Have a great season. I hope to see you on the marsh one of these days.
Yeah, absolutely. Have a good one as well.
You see you, brother.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, just a reminder, though, even though it is a migratory bird, woodcock, you do not need a state stamp, waterfowl stamp. You do not need a federal waterfowl stamp. Oh, man, what a day. So much going on. Hey, big event this weekend happening. Over there, the New Jersey Fur Harvesters. Convention in the Pines. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Tomorrow on Compass Media Network's coverage of the NFL, it's a heavyweight showdown of the AFC as the North and South Division leaders square off in Week 9. It's the Pittsburgh Steelers hosting the Indianapolis Colts. Hi, this is Chris Carino. Join Brian Baldinger and me as Jonathan Taylor and the Red Hot Colts head to Pittsburgh, where Aaron Rodgers and the stout Steelers stand in their way. Colts Steelers. If it's the NFL, it's right here.
It's NFL Sunday on 97.3 ESPN. Coverage begins at 12:30. And Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Wrapping it up the first week of November with me, Tom P. Rack and Fin Radio. Week of November 1st and 2nd. Just a reminder, tonight, 11:59 p.m., your final chance to get a permit bow season buck permit. That late, you have to do it online, njfishandwildlife.com. You pay online, whatever, going to whack you a service charge out, or go to a licensed dealer, bear permits or whatever, are still on sale. As I mentioned, closing off the last segment, there's a great event going on today and tomorrow. Starts at 9 today, goes till 5. Tomorrow, Sunday, 9 to 2. New Jersey Fur Harvesters Convention in the Pines. It's a free event. I love it. I'm there every year. I figure to get there tomorrow, sometime Sunday, late morning. I have a great fur auction. Welcomes all outdoors men and women. It's McKay's Blueberry Farm, Russ Anderson Road, just outside of Chatsworth. It actually says Chatsworth. Main convention will be they're going to have trapping, skinning, fur handling demonstrations all day. Learn how to use snares and a door-proof trap. The whole nine yards. A lot of stuff for sale. ACP Outdoor Products is going to be there. Warpath Archery. Check that guy out. We'll be there. This guy is fascinating. He has to demonstrate that at lateral, if you will, something else. And a host of others. And I'll tell you, he's going to be there. I understand he grew up a lot. There's one kid. His name is Crappy Jack. He makes these crappy jigs. They not only work on crappies and yellow perch and small out and light, they knocked the snot out of some trout for us very recently. So I'm going to have to put this. The kid doesn't negotiate. Hey, kid, if I buy 5, could I get one free, something for the old man for the effort? No. Price is what it is. His dad taught him well. Join us online right now is President of Fur Harvest. Great guest on Rockfin every year. Ron Deal. Ron Deal, how you doing, brother? I can't wait to get there tomorrow. What's up?
Hey, Tom, how's it going?
Tomorrow, Tom P. will be in the house. Well, people, you know me. I leave potholes when I walk. Ron, you have a great event going. The setup is okay. A little rating a whole bit, but it looks you have a full slate of vendors there. It's going to be packed. Listen, it's easy to get to, very easy parking. Ron, go into the event itself. This has been how many years it's been down here in the McKay's Farm?
McKay's Farm, we've been there I want to say about 7 years now.
Yep. Very nice of the gentleman to open up the property to you. Yeah, it's a great setup. Listeners, there's a food truck there. As a girl said, hey, here he comes again, pointing to me. But listeners, anything and everything you want to know about trapping, woodsmanship, archery, everything, it's deal. You seem to have like packed so much in 2 days. It's an amazing event.
Yeah, we even got some homestead people coming and teach us how to do some pickling and soap making. And
oh, wow.
Yep.
To me, it's like Ronnie Jones at ACP said, Tom P., it's close to all outdoors for an event that you can get. Now, that's Ron's high level of excitement right there. So, but that's a 5-star rating for him. But, Ron, let me ask you, on the trapping end, the fur harvesters end, how are you seeing numbers steady insofar as the number of trappers in the state?
It's actually growing. We have more interest in people that want to get involved.
Because, you know, Ron, as we all know, with the antis, it's never ending. Behind the scenes are what, pun intended, trapping in New Jersey is in the crosshairs constantly, it seems.
That's true. All the newer trappers that are getting into it, it's not about the fur industry anymore.
Right.
It's about, like, public safety and, you know, protected nest raiders and turkey populations and stuff.
Yeah, they're successful in crashing the fur market, which was a shame because it was a thriving market. A lot of people employed, and the animals, oh, you're wiping out the animals. No, the animals are still there every year. That's why the numbers were still there. But it's funny how economies work, Ron, again, and also conservation as well, because the nest raider factor. Shout out to Joey Lista at the Millstone Preserve, stressing on the nest raiders. The skunks, the raccoons, the possums. Man, turkey and waterfowl nests are, and I'll tell you, even sometimes fawns, or the bigger, badder boar coons, the damage they do is just staggering.
Yeah, it's pretty bad. Speaking of Joey and the Millstone Predator Hunters, they're going to be doing a demo at the convention on night hunting with thermals. So that's pretty neat to watch.
You got to be kidding me. List is coming down. He's all the way up there in a Middlesex. He knows the importance of the trapping end of it. And he was a guest on Rack of Him probably about 3 weeks ago, a month ago, talking wood ducks. And again, he did mention nest raiders. So what day is this? Is this demonstrations today or tomorrow?
It's going to be today. Him and Nick, they put on a great demo about the night hunting with the thermals. So.
Uh-huh. Listen, like I said,
pretty neat to see.
Anything and everything there is going to be at, it's just a, I had, I'm, I can't wait to get there to a convention in the Pines. It's a free event put on by the New Jersey Fur Harvesters. Go to www.newjerseyfurharvesters.org for more information. All outdoors people. This, again, deal, and to quote Ronnie Jones, paraphrase, this is about all outdoors, woodsmanship, becoming an outdoorsman, not just getting a hunting license and going through the woods and shooting a stock, nothing wrong with shooting a stock bird or a squirrel bird. This is becoming what's involved in woodsmanship and really getting an appreciation in nature. Because trappers especially, they are the true outdoors people.
Listen, if you're into hunter or gatherer type lifestyle, this is definitely the place to go.
Okay, listen, it's going to be a great time. Today the hours are, deal. Check it out. Someone told me, listen, my schedule, I always get there on a Sunday. You're having a bonfire tonight?
Yes, yeah, so when the business starts to die down a little bit, everybody hangs out. We have a bonfire. All the dealers hang out and talk around the bonfire at night. Some of the stories are pretty interesting, let me tell you.
And it's just, besides the few laughs here and there, listen, the amount of knowledge flowing out of these woodsmen and woodswomen, for lack of a better term, it is just absolutely mind-boggling. Okay, Ron Deal, looking forward to see you again. Listen, it's McKay's Blueberry Farm, Russ Anderson Boulevard in Chatsworth. I get in, I go 610, whatever, I go into Chatsworth, make a right. I think it's a right over the tracks on your first left, correct, Bill? Then you go by some big hiking place, some big nature preserve there, and Russ Anderson Road's right on the right-hand side, correct?
Yes.
And down you go. And then you come out, you make a right, you go all the way out, go to 206, head south, and you're at the Pickle Lily Inn. Oh,
that's right.
Rod, is that a, that's a Tom P. Sunday on November 2nd. Ron, you take care. Best of all. See you tomorrow.
Thanks, Tom. See you later.
Take care. That'll do for this week on Rock and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Get out and enjoy. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. See you next week. Rock and Fin Radio.